You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill.
In 1957, Jerry Lee Lewis was the wild man of rock and roll. He was known as the Killer. His hit records, Whole Lotta Shakin' Goin' On and Great Balls of Fire, set off a backlash from parents who feared it was the devil's music. Jerry Lee Lewis had strayed from his fundamentalist religious roots. His cousin is the preacher Jimmy Swaggart. In 1958, when Lewis was a rival to Elvis's throne, he married his second cousin. Jerry Lee Lewis was 23. His bride was the 13-year-old Myra Brown. When the press found out, his career was destroyed by the scandal. The story is told in the recent movie Great Balls of Fire. The film is adapted from Myra Lewis's 1982 memoir, which has just been republished. Myra divorced Lewis in 1971. She's now 45 years old, remarried, and works in real estate in Atlanta. I asked her what she thought of the movie based on her book.
Well, you know, I have some very mixed emotions about the film. First off, I had prepared myself for a lot of crying, a lot of heartbreak when I went to see this movie because I had not been involved in the filming. I had been on the set one day. I had been there twice. I'd been there 2 days and seen filming one of those 2 days. The producers and the directors did not want me to be there, which I somewhat resented, but at the same time, I accepted it. So I did not know what to expect. And when I walked in and I started watching this movie, which I put off about as long as I could, and my family drug me there. They said, you've got to go with us and see this. I was just going to put it off for a very long time. What I sat down and saw was a lightweight musical comedy. It was very entertaining, and it was very cute. And it does try to tell you a lot of information. But it is a year and a half in our life, and my book covered 30 years. And there are a lot of things that are factual in as much as far as they go, but it's almost like you have to know what happened before and after to understand the reasoning behind what the person did.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about your story as you actually lived it. How did you first meet Jerry Lee Lewis?
Terry, I met Jerry by way of my father bringing him to Memphis. My father had been injured on the job, and he went to Louisiana looking for his first cousin, Jerry Lee Lewis, who he had not met, but he did know that he played piano and sang. And my father had been in a band with his brothers younger, you know, when he was a kid, and he wanted to form a band, so he went and found Jerry, brought him to Memphis. And when Jerry walked into our house, I was a 12-year-old kid sitting at the kitchen table doing my math homework. Ponytail and crinoline and, you know, poodle skirt and all this. And I really didn't even know who Jerry was or what he was.
Your marriage to him became a scandal because you were 13 and he was 22 and you were second cousins. Did that seem unusual to you at the time? Your age and marrying as second cousins?
It did to me. You've got to remember, I grew up in a city. I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, the suburbs of a city. Jerry grew up on a farm in Louisiana. And where he came from, it was not unusual. But when Jerry decided that he wanted to marry me, I argued with him that I was too young, and he argued back that I wasn't. So I was very aware of the age that it was entirely too young.
Now, I think his sister had married when she was 12.
Yes. Yes.
So it really wasn't that unusual in his family.
It wasn't unusual. His mother had married, I think, when she was 16. Of course, my mother married when she was 16. But they had left that part of the country, and I had not been raised in that environment. So it was, you know, it was way out of the ordinary for me. But in Jerry's family, it was still happening.
How did you get married since you were underage?
Well, Jerry went to the courthouse in Mississippi. He took a girl that posed as me. She signed the certificate and said that she was Myra Gail Brown. And they put on there that she was 22 years old. And they did not question her, of course, and you had a 3-day waiting period, I believe, at that time. And Jerry came back from this trip to my house, called me outside in the car and said, sit down, I want to tell you something, I want to show you something. And he pulled out the marriage license. And when I first saw it, I thought we had gotten married. I could not understand how a person could be married and not know it. And when he said, no, we're going to get married. And that's when I argued with him and said, Jerry, I am too young for this. And he said, no, you're not. My mother married young and your mother married young. And I'm making plenty money and everything will be okay. And that's the point where I jumped out of the car and slammed the door and ran off. And he came after me and he caught me and he whirled me around and he said, Myra, I love you and I want to marry you. And I said, well, I love you too, Jerry, but I don't want to marry you right now. I'm too young. And he said, well, it's now or never. And, of course, you could almost say the rest is history.
My guest is Myra Lewis Williams, and she's written a memoir about her years married to Jerry Lee Lewis, the great rock and roll star. You were in what grade when you got married?
The eighth.
Did you drop out after you were married?
Terry, in 1958, there was a law that said you could not attend school if you were married, which was there to discourage young marriages, but all in essence it discouraged was an education. So, of course, I dropped out because I had to, but I would have myself anyway because, of course, Jerry wanted me to be with him. He wanted me going on the road with him.
You know, I'm thinking about what it must have been like for you at 12 years old to be married, but not only to be married to this, like, super libidinous husband, you know? I mean, your husband was someone who was singing the most kind of wild, sexy lyrics, you know, and he really had a very kind of sexually charged persona as a performer. Did you feel at all physically or mentally prepared for a marital sexual relationship?
No, I was not prepared for anything. I had no idea what was expected of me. I had no idea what I was supposed to do or how I was supposed to do it. And I think my youth and my innocence probably saved me because, you know, people will ask the question, what was it like to have been married to Jerry? And I can't tell you what it was like because I've never been anything else. So I did not grow up and get married. I got married and grew up. And It was, to me, it was the most natural thing in the world and the most normal, although I did realize that there was no one else on the face of the earth that was living life the same way I was living it.
Did you find sexuality normal or disturbing when you were that young?
I did not find it disturbing. I don't know what I found it. I found it my obligation more than anything else.
Uh-huh.
I was very unknowledgeable about anything. As a matter of fact, I believe Jerry knew I was pregnant before I did. I had no idea. I had no idea why I was sick.
You are really a classic example of going from living in your parents' house to living in your husband's house, and going from from having parents as the authority figures to having husband as authority figure without having any time as an independent person. And the impression I got is that Jerry Lee Lewis really was an authority figure in the home and that he tried to control you in many ways. You say that he tried to choose the clothes you wore, the books you read, told you not to wear makeup, chose the records that you could listen to. And I was really curious what records he didn't want you to listen to.
If they had his name on them, I could listen to them.
Anything else?
And if they didn't, I was not supposed to be listening.
Did it ever seem really hypocritical to you that here was this wild guy whose behavior really knew no bounds, but for you, his wife, he would draw the line and you know, make you toe the line.
It's called a double standard.
Right. were you aware of it being that way? Did you ever object to it when
No.
you were 12? Or did you just accept, well, that must be the way things are?
No, I accepted it at that age. You see, I let Jerry raise me. I let him tell me what I was supposed to think and what I was supposed to believe. First off, I didn't have anyone else to tell me. And I had to grow up, so I had to think something. And in the Deep South, you've got to remember, it's a wife was almost a possession to her husband. My grandmother called her husband Mister. Now that's quite a time ago, but still that can almost show you how women were very subservient positioned to their husbands. So it was not strange to me. I believed everything he told me. He spoon-fed me life in little bitty sips, and I accepted it and had this blind faith and admiration and sought no other opinion, never for a moment thought of disobeying him or not agreeing with him until I started growing up. And then I said, wait a second. Somehow all this can't be right. There's an entire world out there that's not going to agree with this.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started thinking on my own, I realized that there was more to life than what I was getting.
When you were married, when you first got married, were you advised by Jerry's manager and so on to not make your marriage public?
No, I wasn't. Actually, no one advised me of anything. That was part of the problem. In going back and researching my book, I found out that people did not want me to go to England. I did not know that before. I did not realize that Jerry's managers had asked Jerry not to take me to England. If they had been willing to confide in me or try to confide in me, I feel like I could have made a change in this scandal that actually ultimately took place, because if I had known what was about to hit in England, when the reporter asked me who I was, I could have honestly answered, my name is Myra. And when he said, and who are you, miss, which is the question I answered, I could have said I was Jay Brown's daughter, because I was.
Right, and Jay Brown was your father, who was playing with Jerry Lee Lewis at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's describe the story a little bit. What happened was, as you said, you went with Jerry Lee Lewis on tour to England. It was his first performances there. There was a big press conference at the airport, I think it was. Was it at the airport?
We arrived in London, and the press was there to meet and greet Jerry and take photographs.
And one reporter asked who you were, and you said that you were Jerry Lewis's wife, and he asked you your age. Did he ask you your age?
He asked my age, and I decided Jerry had talked about me telling people that I was older, and he was trying to tell people that I was older anyway. And instead of being 13, I told him I was 15. I thought, well, that'll make a whole lot of difference. And the next day it came out in the press that Jerry Lewis is here with his child bride, Myra, who is 15 years old. And this was an incredible scandal. It was bad enough right then. Then the next day it came out, it said, Jerry Lee Lewis is here with his child bride, Myra, who is really 13 and is his second cousin. And then on the third and the last day, it came out that Jerry Lee Lewis is here with his child bride, Myra, 13 years old, his second cousin, and he is not legally divorced from his second wife. And then we went home. We were asked to leave the country. That was the end.
Did you feel like he was pretty well blacklisted after the story broke?
Oh, he was. There's no doubt about it. It was for 10 years Jerry's records were held off the air. He could not get a decent concert date. There were certain radio stations that would not touch him at all. Sponsors, more than anything else, said, no, you will not play his music. He went from making $10,000 a night to making $200 a night.
No, when his income plummeted and his career kind of stopped dead in its tracks, did he blame you for it because of your age, because you'd said something to that reporter?
No, Jerry never blamed me. That was one good thing about Jerry. He never pointed the finger and said, this is your fault. If he was ever put on the spot with it, he would put his arm around me and say, I paid millions of dollars for this little girl, but I love her. And he never for a moment blamed me.
Did he still play at home even when he wasn't getting good performance dates?
Oh, yes. He played every day. There was not a day that would go by that Jerry did not. Well, every day, that's an exaggeration. He played two or three times every day. Jerry would also make chords in the middle of the night with his fingers. If his hand was resting on my shoulder, it would be chording and playing. You could see him moving, you know, you see his fingers moving.
You were pregnant when you were 15. Is that right?
No, my child was born when I was 14.
Oh, okay. Okay. And so you had a son at the age of 14.
And yes.
He died at the age of 3 in a drowning accident and in a friend's swimming pool. When that happened, did you think God was punishing you?
No, I never thought that. Jerry thought God was punishing him.
Uh-huh.
but I never thought God was punishing either one of us. I just do not believe that God works that way.
So you say that Jerry, though, thought that God was punishing him with this death. Was he afraid that he would go to hell because of the music that he played and the life that he led?
Well, Jerry was raised in a background of a religious background, holiness, Pentecostal religion. It was very strict and very stringent about things that you could not do. And Jerry sat in judgment of himself continuously because he could never get away from the raising and the teaching that he had, that first off, he wasn't supposed to be playing that kind of music. He wasn't supposed to be living the life that he lived. And he was a man who was tormented daily by this, his expectations of what he should be doing versus in reality what he was doing. So he was tormented by this, and Jerry believed when we lost our son that God was punishing him mm-hmm. for not being what he was supposed to be.
Jerry Lewis and his cousin Jimmy Swaggart have always been painted as these really interesting opposites who each have part of the other within them. You know, Jimmy Swaggart has part of the devil in him, and Jerry Lewis has this kind of spiritual drive in him as well, and is always like caught between God and the devil. Where were you in the middle of all of this? Have you been during your life like a spiritual person, a believer?
Yes, Terry, I've always been I'm not an extremely religious person, but I believe I'm a very spiritual person. And I've always basically sat at the feet of both of these men and listened to their instructions. Jerry was never living the life that he would tell you to live. But there were many years that I lived the life that Jerry told me to live. He wanted me to be good and pure and straight and, you know, a Christian and everything. And he wanted to have that kind of home. He wanted that environment. Even though he wasn't a part of it, he wanted it there. There were many years. Well, our entire married life, for 13 years, Jerry did not allow anyone to come in our home and drink. There was never, ever a bottle of liquor brought into our house.
After 13 years of marriage, you initiated divorce proceedings against Jerry Lee Lewis. And what you said was that he had threatened you. He had threatened to throw you in the river if you left him, to pour acid on your face if you left him. How bad had things gotten when you left?
They had gotten pretty bad. The last 3 years of our marriage was very, very bad time in my life. It was the three worst years I've ever been through. And I think what was happening, Jerry realized that I was growing up and away from him. He realized that I was beginning to think for myself. I was changing. I was not accepting everything that he handed me with blind faith. And at that point, Jerry realized he had to do something to keep me in line. That was a terrible thing to say. To keep me there, okay, and to keep me what I had been to him for the last 13 years. So he basically was very rough and tough on me as far as saying things like, no one will ever have you if you leave me. You're ugly and you're stupid. And those type of remarks were never meant to hurt me. And I realized that in looking back over my life. Those remarks were said by a man who felt like he was losing his wife and in a desperate attempt was trying to figure out a way to keep her there. And that's the conclusion that I came to when I went back and wrote this book. It took me 3 years to figure all these things out and to come to terms with all of my past and not only understand what people had done, but understand why they had done it. And that was the great part about all of it, is that I was able to understand why people did what they did.
You're a real estate broker now. Did you go back to school after you left your husband?
I was going to school the entire time that I was living with Jerry, off and on, Terry. The only time I could go to school was when Jerry was gone, because Jerry did not like me going to school. So I would go at night when he wasn't there, or I would go on a weekend when he was gone. I had continuously gone back and tried to get an education. I wasn't after any particular designation. I just enjoyed learning things. I enjoyed reading. I enjoyed knowing what happened in different areas. And yes, I ended up going back to school, and I ended up getting my real estate license. I've been in real estate almost 10 years now.
Mm-hmm. Do you see Jerry Lee Lewis at all anymore?
I saw Jerry about 4 or 5 months ago. I saw him at a party that Dennis Quaid had in Memphis, a Thanksgiving party.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw him through the crowd, he saw me and I saw him, and I started toward him. And when I got close to him, I put my arms out and I hugged him.
Myra Lewis-Williams, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry. I've enjoyed it.